Hey everyone, welcome back. Ever wonder how your brain picks what to remember? I mean, some things stick with us forever and others just vanish. We're going to deep dive into some research that suggests our brains might actually have two separate systems for making memories, especially when it comes to rewards.
Yeah, it's a fascinating idea. It's kind of like having a fast track system and a slow burn system both working at the same time.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Can you give me an example?
Sure. Think about like you try a new restaurant, you absolutely love it. That's your fast system at work, learning and adapting quickly. But years later, you might still crave a dish your grandma used to make, right? That's the slow system holding on to those deep-seated memories and preferences, even after all that time.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. So how did researchers figure this out? Like, how do we even know about these two systems?
Well, the Gatizadeh Lab at Sharif University of Technology, they've been doing some super cool work in this area. They ran a study with macaque monkeys, training them to link certain images with either a large reward, like a big juicy treat, or a small one.
So the monkeys learned which images meant hitting the jackpot, basically.
Exactly. They got it down pat. But then, here's the twist. The researchers flipped things around. The images that used to signal the big reward, they suddenly only gave a small one, and vice versa.
Oh man, talk about a mix-up. Did the monkeys adjust to the change?
They did, eventually, yeah. They figured out the new rules and started going for the images that gave the bigger reward. But here's the really interesting part, the part that surprised everyone. After a little break, when the monkeys were tested again, their very first instinct was to go back to those images that originally meant the big reward.
So even though they'd learned the new rules, there was still this pull towards the old rewards. That's pretty wild.
Yeah, it is. And it's something traditional theories about learning and memory kind of struggle to explain. This is where that two-rate model comes in.
All right, break it down for me. How does this two-rate system actually work?
Picture this. Two processes happening at the same time. One's super quick to learn, but also quick to forget. That's your fast system, helping you adapt on the fly. The other, it's slower to learn, but holds on to information for way longer. That's your slow system. It's responsible for all those ingrained memories and habits we have.
Ah, so it's like two sides of the same coin, one's for flexibility, the other for stability.
That's a great way to put it. And the Gatizadeh lab didn't just see this two-rate model playing out in the monkeys' behavior. They actually found evidence for it in the activity of their neurons.
Hold on, they could actually see this two-system thing happening in the brain.
They could. They zeroed in on this brain area called the ventrolateral prefrontal cortex, or VLPFC for short.
Yeah.
It's like the brain's central command for decision-making, where it weighs the value of different options.
So if I'm trying to decide between, I don't know, a salad and a giant piece of chocolate cake, my VLPFC is going into overdrive.
Exactly. It's working hard to figure out which choice is more rewarding. And what the researchers found is that different parts of the neural activity reflected those two systems we were talking about. An early response that seemed to be connected to the slow system, the one that stays steady even when things change. And then there's a later response that was more aligned with the fast system, the one that adapts to new situations but fades over time.
So it's like our brains are always balancing those long-term memories with the need to learn new things.
That's it. And the Gatizadeh lab is really pushing the boundaries of what we know about how learning and memory work.
This is all so fascinating. But this was all with monkeys, right? Does this apply to us humans too?
That's the next big question, and we'll dive into that in a bit.
Yeah.
So we can't exactly, peek into human brains the same way we can with monkeys, but there are actually a lot of clues that suggest this two-rate system is working in all of us.
Okay, so you're saying like when we have those aha moments or those frustrating times where we just can't shake a bad habit, that could be our fast and slow systems kind of duking it out.
You got it. Think about how hard it is to break a bad habit, right? It's like there's a part of us that's stuck in the past, clinging to those old rewards, even when we know, logically, we know better.
I can definitely relate to that. But if our brains are so good at holding on to these long-term memories, how can we forget things at all?
Ah, that's a great question. And it goes back to those two systems we were talking about. Your fast system, the one that's responsible for those quick bursts of learning, it's also quick to forget. Like remembering where you parked your car this morning, super important in the moment, but then it fades away pretty quickly.
Oh, okay, so that's why I can never remember where I put my keys. But what about those really strong memories, the ones that stick with us for years and years?
That's your slow system at work. It takes a lot longer for information to really sink in there, but once it does, it's there for the long haul. It's like riding a bike. Even if you haven't done it in years, those memories come flooding back the moment you hop on.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So it's like our brains are constantly juggling these two systems, figuring out what to keep and what to toss out, right?
Exactly. And to make things even more interesting, the Ghazizada lab, they actually went a step further with their research. Remember how the monkeys were trained to connect images with rewards?
Yep.
Well, the researchers wanted to see if this two-rate system also showed up in the way the monkeys actually looked at those images.
So instead of just choosing between the images, they were tracking the monkey's eye movements.
Precisely. They came up with this free viewing task where the monkeys could look wherever they wanted, no rewards involved. It was like a way to see what really caught their attention just naturally.
So what did they find? Did the monkeys just like immediately zone in on the high reward images?
Well, that's the thing. It was fascinating. Their very first eye movements, they were often drawn to those original good images, even after the rewards had been switched. It's like there was this subconscious pull towards those really ingrained memories of value.
Wow. So even though they knew the rules had changed, they couldn't help but look at the old favorites first.
Exactly. But there's a twist. While their initial glances were kind of stuck in the past, the monkeys actually ended up spending more time overall looking at the images that now had the bigger reward.
So their brains were kind of in this tug of war, one system pulling them towards the familiar and the other guiding them towards like what was actually better for them in that moment.
That's a great way to put it. And that's actually what makes this research so groundbreaking. It gives us this whole new way of understanding how our brains balance stability and flexibility.
Right, so stability being those deep-seated memories and habits, and flexibility being our ability to like adapt to new situations. That's incredible.
It really is. And this balance, this delicate balance, is crucial for pretty much everything we do. I mean, everything from learning a new language to navigating our social lives, it all depends on that balance. But, beyond the science itself, what really excites me about this research is the potential impact it could have on our lives.
Okay, now you're talking. How can understanding these two systems actually help us in a practical way?
Well, imagine the possibilities. For example, this research could lead to entirely new therapies for people who are struggling with addiction. Imagine helping them break free from those ingrained reward associations.
So instead of just relying on willpower to fight those cravings, we could actually like retrain our brains to respond differently.
Exactly. And it's not just addiction. This research could help us develop way better learning strategies, strategies that tap into the power of both the fast and slow systems so we can learn more effectively and make sure that learning really sticks.
Wow, I can see how this could completely revolutionize the way we approach education. But we've been talking a lot about the implications for things like addiction and learning. What about those everyday moments of forgetfulness? Is there anything we can do to, like, boost our memory power in general?
Now that's where things get really interesting. Because, knowing how our brains work can actually help us optimize our memory in a really practical way. We know that the slow system is the key to long-term retention. So if we can tailor our learning strategies to engage that system, we can make a huge difference.
So, like writing things down over and over again, is that the secret?
Well, there's definitely more to it than just simple repetition. It's about making the information truly meaningful, finding ways to engage your emotions, and creating as many connections as possible. The more connections you can create, the stronger that memory is going to become.
So, if I want to remember something important, I should try to connect it to something I already know, or something that triggers a strong feeling for me.
That's the idea. Think about stories, for example. We remember stories so well because they tap into our emotions, they have a clear structure, and they connect to our own personal experiences.
It's true. I can remember the plot of a good book years later, but I can barely remember what I had for lunch yesterday.
Exactly. And by understanding the interplay of these two systems, the fast and the slow, we can really harness the power of our brains to learn, adapt, and remember in ways we never thought possible.
This is all pretty mind-blowing stuff, but before we get too carried away, there's something I've been wondering about. How did the Ghazizada lab actually make these discoveries? I mean, it's not like they can just ask a monkey, hey, what's going on in your brain right now?
Right, haha, exactly. They used some incredibly sophisticated techniques, combining those behavioral observations with really cutting-edge technology. One of their key tools was something called electrophysiology.
Electrophysiology. Okay, that sounds pretty intense. What is that exactly?
It's a way to basically listen in on the conversations happening between individual brain cells.
Wait, you mean they can actually hear neurons like talking to each other?
Well, not here in the traditional sense, but they can actually measure the electrical activity of those neurons. What they did was they implanted these tiny little electrodes in the monkey's brain, specifically in that VLPFC area we were talking about.
Okay, so they could actually see in real time how those neurons were firing as the monkeys were learning and making decisions. That's amazing.
Exactly. And by analyzing those patterns of activity, they could actually start to decode the language of the brain, figure out which signals were connected to the fast system and which ones were tied to the slow system.
Wow. It's like they're cracking the code of how our brains learn and remember. But it's not just about the technical stuff, is it? I mean, there's a whole ethical dimension to working with animals in research, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's crucial to emphasize that all animal research is conducted under these really strict ethical guidelines. The goal is to ensure the animal's well-being and to minimize any potential discomfort. The researchers at the Gazi Zeta Lab, they're deeply committed to these principles, and their work has been rigorously reviewed and approved by all the ethical committees.
Okay, that's good to hear. It's reassuring to know that the welfare of the animals is a top priority. And ultimately, the knowledge we gain from these studies can benefit both animals and humans. Speaking of which, let's maybe shift gears a little bit and talk about the bigger picture here. Like, what are the main takeaways from this research?
Well, I think this research really changes how we think about the brain's role in learning and memory. You know, it moves us away from this simplistic idea of the brain being like a computer, and it embraces the idea that our brains are actually these dynamic, multi-layered systems that are constantly balancing stability and flexibility.
Yeah, it's like our brains are a symphony of different processes all working together to create this coherent experience.
That's a beautiful analogy. And this research also highlights how important it is to consider multiple timescales when we're studying brain function. We can't just focus on the immediate responses. We need to understand how those past experiences continue to shape our present behavior, even when those experiences are no longer relevant or beneficial.
That reminds me of that William Faulkner quote, you know, the past is never dead, it's not even past. Our brains really seem to embody that idea, don't they?
Absolutely. And this research actually gives us a neural basis for understanding why that is. It's not just this philosophical concept. It's literally wired into our brains.
This is really mind-blowing stuff. But before we get too carried away, we need to address the elephant in the room here. We've talked a lot about monkeys, but how much of this actually applies to humans? Can we really extrapolate these findings to our own brains?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And while we can't ethically do the exact same experiments in humans, there's really compelling evidence to suggest that many of these principles are actually conserved across species. For example, studies using non-invasive brain imaging techniques like fMRI have shown that the human VLPFC, it also plays a crucial role in value-based decision-making.
Even though we can't stick electrodes in human brains, we can still see similar patterns of activity in the brain regions involved in these processes.
Exactly. And there's this growing body of research using computational modeling techniques to actually understand human behavior in terms of these two-rate learning models. And the results are strikingly consistent with the findings from the monkey studies.
So while there are always going to be some species-specific differences, the fundamental principles of learning and memory seem to be pretty similar across primates, including us humans.
Precisely. And that's what makes this research so powerful. It gives us a glimpse into these core mechanisms that actually drive our thoughts, our actions, even our struggles with things like habits and addiction.
It's all starting to come together now. This research is like a key that unlocks a deeper understanding of ourselves and our place in the world. But we're running out of time, so I want to make sure we leave our listeners with something to really ponder. What's like the one big takeaway you'd like them to remember from this whole deep dive?
I think the most important thing to remember is that our brains are not static entities. They're constantly evolving, adapting, and balancing all these competing influences. We have these incredible systems that allow us to learn from our experiences, both good and bad, and to update our understanding of the world as new information comes in.
It's like our brains are a dynamic tapestry, constantly being woven and rewoven by the threads of our experiences. And understanding these processes gives us the power to shape that tapestry, to break free from the constraints of the past and really embrace the possibilities of the future.
Beautifully put. And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've learned about this fascinating two-rate system in the brain, explored the Gazi Zeta Lab's groundbreaking research, and even touched on the broader implications for understanding human behavior. To our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this journey, and we'll catch you next time.